Hey everybody, Rich Grisham here with a world exclusive announcement. We are announcing today that Franchise Hockey Manager 3 is coming on October 17th, 2016, and for the first time ever, it is officially licensed by the NHL. We could not be more excited about this. This is the next generation of hockey strategy. It is Franchise Hockey Manager 3 is the deepest, most authentic hockey strategy experience you can find, including, as I said, for the first time ever officially licensed by the NHL. And it's got an all-new mode, Path to Glory, that gets you in and having fun really quickly. You can take the reins of your favorite NHL franchise to capture the Stanley Cup Championship. It's got tons of new features, options, and tactics, and so much more that we're going to be announcing over the next couple of weeks. I mentioned it's coming October 17, 2016, but if you pre-order it today, you get 25% off, $10 off the price. You get it for just $29.99 if you pre-order it today, anytime before October 17th. It's for the Mac, it's for the PC, it's from the makers of Out of the Park Baseball. It's Franchise Hockey Manager 3. It is officially licensed by the NHL. It's coming October 17th, 2016. So go to your computer, go to outoftheparkdevelopments.com, click on Franchise Hockey Manager 3, pre-order it today, get $10 off. We are really excited. The NHL has licensed Franchise Hockey Manager 3. It's the best hockey strategy game you can buy.
We're right in the midst of sports gaming season, a rush of releases that could very well overwhelm consumers and even reviewers. In this episode of the Press Row Podcast, we've got a panel assembled to discuss four of the games that just released, and actually a bonus fifth at the end, or that may be out just imminently. NBA 2K17, NHL 17, Pro Evolution Soccer 2017, FIFA 17, and Forza Horizon 3. Hi, I'm your host, Brian Weedy, Pasta Padre, and before we get into the specific games, I'll introduce the guests for the show and find out what's being played lately. First up from US Gamer, it's Kat Bailey. Kat, where's your gaming time been going lately?
My gaming time has been going into lots of sports games because that is what I'm reviewing right now. I've been reviewing NBA 2K. In fact, I am literally writing the review right now, and it will be up by the time this podcast is ready. I have lots of thoughts on that one. I started playing Pro Evolution Soccer, which unfortunately came in late, so I wasn't able to review it as well fast as quickly as I wanted to. I've been playing FIFA, which I am also reviewing. It's been very busy, and also today I flew down the trench and collided into the wall in the desk.
On purpose?
No, not on purpose. I took over a wingman, and that wingman was pointing down into the trench, and I was like, oh, I definitely don't have time to, I am dead. So a little bit, those are the people that you didn't see in the Star Wars films, the hapless people like Jack, who just kind of collided with the walls, because you know what? It's actually kind of hard to fly in the Death Star.
I hear you. All right. Let's see. Next, Operation Sports. It's Chris, a.k.a. Millennium. Chris, welcome back to the show.
What's going on, guys? I have also been having my fun doing the trench run. I got to play as Red 5 once, the new hero ship, and proceeded to immediately go a little too far into the Death Star and, much like Kat, crash into the wall. It's very tight in those trenches. But other than that, I've been playing a ton of NHL 17, NBA, and a couple of Madden franchises that I have offline, and playing way too much of a demo of a racing game that I cannot get enough of that I need to get here as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That which would be one Forza Horizon 3.
Yeah, that's really hitting the right notes with a lot of people right now. Next up, we've got Sumit Sarkar from Polygon, who hasn't been on the show in quite a while. Welcome back.
Thanks, man. It's good to be back. It's always fun. A little crazy busy, but also fun this time of year, as sports gamers know. Me personally, I've been playing pretty much nothing but NHL because that was my duty to review over at Polygon, a review should be up by the time this podcast goes up. It's not that that, you know, came in particularly late. I just was unfortunately out of town for a couple of weekends in a row, which really limited my play time. But I've played a whole bunch of it now, excited to talk about it with all of y'all. Unfortunately, because of that, I haven't really been able to play any of the other big games that have come out in the past few weeks. But mm-hmm. I've got a copy of NBA 2K17. Definitely want to check it out. I actually just tried scanning my face into my phone. So I'm excited to see how that turns out in the game.
Good luck.
Yeah. I use the front camera. Maybe I should have used the rear camera. We'll see. I'm hearing a lot about Forza Horizon 3, so I want to check out that demo at the very least this week as well.
Oh, yeah. Demo gives you a good chance to really get a feel for that game. So it's a really, really solid demo. Rich Gresham, out of the Park Developments. Rich, we haven't talked in like 5 days.
Yeah, it's been a long time, Brian.
Yeah.
Long time. So I'm playing some NBA 2K. When we last spoke, I had wrapped the Prelude, and I have imported my guy into the game. I was the number one first-round draft pick. Not number one
You
overall.
Got taken...
No, I got taken, I think, ninth by the Utah Jazz, so I'm now a proud member of the Jazz. Enjoying NBA 2K. We'll talk some more about that. I continue to play Pro Evolution Soccer, which just continues to make me delighted. I'm tweeting usually at least once every night or once every other night a 10 to 20 second clip of a goal I'm able to score, and just I'm always getting people reacting like, wow, that looks amazing, that's unbelievable. I'm like, yeah, I know, this game is just astounding. And of course I'm continuing, I am day and date in MLB The Show as my New York Mets, as I try to win the World Series as the Mets. I was unsuccessful last year. I lost the World Series as the Mets, similar to what the real Mets did. So, you know, I'm just in, and I, as we mentioned, I played some of the Forza Horizon 3 demo. I didn't need to pick it back up again. I pre-ordered the game. It's coming to my house, you know, through Amazon Prime first thing on Tuesday, so I'm eagerly awaiting that. I am just in sports game heaven, man. These are great days and even better days ahead. So I'm just having a great time.
Yeah, a lot of great games, and that kind of creates the conflict, right, that we've talked about, Rich, that there's so many really good games. And no, we don't have the variety in each sport, but that actually, in a sense, in order to compete in this current marketplace, the games have to be exceptional. Just mediocre, just decent isn't good enough anymore. So you see developers having to really push things and really show improvements year to year. Let's start with the first one, or it came out the same day as Pro Evolution, but of this bunch, one of the earliest ones out. It's been out for a little while now, NHL 17. Sumit, you mentioned you reviewed it. How about you just give me your kind of general overview of NHL 17 and what you thought of it?
Sure. Yeah, you guys may have talked about it on the show already, but for me, I thought that they had a really big chance this year to bring the franchise back to the heights that fans knew on the previous generation of consoles, because obviously NHL 15 was a pretty disastrous first year on the new console generation, and then last year with 16, I think, you know, they sort of were clawing their way back to respectability, but not quite there yet. This year, I think, you know, they're there, but the game to me didn't sort of take the leap that I think EA Vancouver, not EA Canada anymore, they've rebranded, that EA Vancouver needed to take. So for me, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's really great in the game, a lot of additions that they've made, you know, meaty additions. Most notably, you know, they've overhauled Be a GM. It's now called Franchise Mode, and there's a lot more stuff to do there. EA Sports Hockey League has a ton more depth for people who love that mode. But there's still enough stagnation in some areas, and also just kind of these, you know, nagging issues that are, I think, unbecoming of you know, a marquee sports franchise, and, you know, one that was one of the best, you know, perennially one of the best sports franchises on the previous console generation, and it's disappointing to me that they haven't quite gotten back to that point.
But, yeah, I agree with you, Sumit. I I've thought about this a lot. And, you know, when I look at what NHL has to offer, I think, yeah, I don't know, like other sports games get away with less. I mean, see MLB The Show than what NHL has to offer. Especially this year, I love the fact that they included the World Cup of Hockey. I love. I actually am kind of a fan of the owner mode. It's pretty neat to be able to build up to create the Seattle North Stars or whatever. Even if NBA 2K did it a lot better last year, much more expansively. Yeah. But I think what it gets down to is that NBA or NHL's gameplay just isn't up to par anymore. I think it still feels last gen. I think that the puck physics are just way off. It doesn't feel right. And they've just now finally gotten back to the point where they were with like NHL 14 by adding in stuff like the physical play in front of the net. And that's great and all, but I think that in terms of gameplay, NHL is so far behind the competition, and that's a real problem. It makes me kind of bored with it, to be perfectly honest. And I don't know what the plan is going forward. I don't know what direction they can go from here. They seem pretty married to the approach that they're taking, especially because it works for the EASHL. And if that's the case, then I don't know. Like, I think that it's gonna have a hard time breaking out where it is right now.
You know what, though? I think you're right in a lot of ways, but I think that they are taking the approach they're taking with NHL because it is working for them. I think, you know, and Millennium, I know, is big in the NHL. There's a bunch of people I talk to, and Kat, I know you and I were for years big NHL active players, right? Yeah. I think just our tastes have sort of moved to different places right now. But I think I believe that the people who are really the target audience, the core audience for NHL, are there and they are enjoying the game and they are playing a lot of EA Sports Hockey League. They're playing a lot of Hockey Ultimate Team. I think,
just say that Hockey Ultimate Team is easily the worst Ultimate Team out of any of the Ultimate Teams that I've played.
It seems to be the general sentiment.
It lacks really any single player stuff. You can't even auto-generate your own lineup. It's not a good mode. I just wanted to say that.
I'm not going to argue that because I haven't played it. I know Millennium and Submit can talk more about that. But I mean, again, this is just the sense that I get. I have no quantitative data, but you know, the sort of in chatting with people and stuff, there's a bunch of people who are enjoying that mode. And like, there's a lot of people, like similar to how it used to be in the days of Madden, there's a lot of people who get NHL and that's what they get and that's what they play and that's sort of their thing. And I think that, I don't know, I mean, I have the feeling that even though it's not necessarily hitting the mark for you and me, Kat, I think that overall it's found their stride and the people who are into NHL are playing and enjoying that game on a regular basis. I think it is working out for them.
Well, I think the biggest problem that NHL did was competitive difficulty. They now have difficulty tabs in the settings. Competitive difficulty, which is their default, is a lot like 16. Kat's absolutely right when she says gameplay on that setting has not changed much. But if you change that setting and it's for offline only, I'm not sure why, because I think they're trying to focus more on the EASHL hut crowd, which is more casual. If you change that to full sim and play 10-minute periods in my GM, the game plays infinitely differently. Like, the puck is loose. The computer passes the puck around the zone. It's not just rush, pass, you know, one pass, one timer. Like, I've had the computer keep me in the zone for a 2.5-minute shift where they actually shifted an entire line out while I was stuck in the zone and I felt helpless, which is not something I've ever felt in an NHL game since last gen. So their biggest change is something they're not allowing anybody to see unless, as Rich said, you're in that niche crew that wanted to get into the settings menu. Their full sim setting is gorgeous to play. That's what I stream it on, and people in my stream have said,
yes,
wow, this, what is this?
Exactly. I was watching that and people were like saying exactly that, like, what is this? This is not the NHL that I know. Like when Brian and I were chatting about it, I think on the last show, I'm like, well, you know, it feels the same. I use the same ways to score. I skate in down the wing, I slide across the slot, and I fire a puck, you know, from left to right or right to left, and I'll score one of every three or four times. But when you do play the way you're talking about, Millennium, it is a completely different game. And by the way, it's a very difficult game to play. You have to really want to play the game the right way. But boy,
correct,
a lot of people are finding that and are having a very positive experience. And it's interesting to see NHL sort of, instead of try to, at least from my perspective, I don't know, but it just feels like they're, instead of trying to go wide, they're really almost retrenching with their core community and counting on their core community to be the drivers of the game. And you know, I don't know, but I don't know. It just feels like it's working, even though it's not working for you and me, Kat.
Well, I think you're probably right about them retrenching with their core audience, because at its heart, NHL is a niche thing, with all due respect to Canada, which, of course, loves hockey, and I love hockey. Don't get me wrong. But it's not a bad idea for them to refocus on their specific community. And in fact, it's a trend that you see across a lot of sports games. It's just with NHL, I don't know. I think that you're right in that I'm maybe a minority, because I think that the broader sports public will often focus on their sport, like their favorite sport, when they're buying their sports game, whether that's the NBA or the NHL or the NFL or soccer. And of course, we play all of the different sports games. And so you can't help but start comparing across different sports, different companies, that kind of thing. And I think that in terms of like overall polish and things like that, NHL has definitely suffered in comparison to its competition.
So I would agree with you guys. You know, I pretty much the first thing I did was turn it to full sim with 10-minute periods, and you know, I saw a lot of good stuff gameplay wise. I think the net battles there, you know, EA brought them back, but they're more robust than they were in like NHL 14. You know, you can like do the stuff where you, as a defender, can like stick lift or like just try to push your forwards around, or you know, on offense you can like curl off of a tie up or you know, try to avoid it altogether. So you know, stuff that I was trying to do, it really changed the way I play, to the point where you know, I would you know, pass to the outside, take slap shots from the point, and like almost aim the slap shots at an area where I saw a teammate in a net battle, and I was thinking, well, maybe he'll be able to deflect it if I aim this shot, you know, at the right area. So that stuff I think works pretty well, but there's still a lot of, you know, to what Kat was saying, a lot of just like these nagging, maybe, you know, last gen feeling issues, to the point, or to wit, like you'll still see, like when you're going on the net, like AI will often like get caught on the net. Like it's like, they're bringing the puck around behind the net, and they'll get stuck, or it's like, looks like their stick gets stuck or something like that. It's like weird. The puck pickups, which, you know, they've said that they worked on last year and have done a lot of work on in general this generation, it still feels like it's really finicky. To me, the most annoying thing in this game, and it happens like all the time, is I'll put a huge hit on someone and like we'll be unable to pick up the puck, and they'll actually get up from the ice after I've, you know, laid him out and like regain possession of the puck, which is just like mind boggling when that happens. And those kinds of issues are still around. And, you know, even though they've made a lot of improvements to, you know, things like what Chris was pointing out with the cycle game for CPU opponents, it still is held back by these kinds of you know, little annoying issues that, you know, you wouldn't see in maybe some more polished titles gameplay wise.
Just to follow up, the two things that absolutely are going to need work in this series to separate it on regular settings or any settings is teams have to start playing differently. Their player ID has gotten much better this year, where I see Alex Ovechkin play differently than, say, Phil Kessel. but the team ID still always reverts back to high pressure when they're down, low pressure when they're not. And I believe that's because the CPU AI only has so many strategies it can go to. That's a problem, and the presentation is starting to show age. Even though the NBC Sports package has just brought in, the commentating is horrible at this point.
It's an atrocity. It's the worst out of any sports game.
You look at it, like, you know, we were talking about the World Cup of Hockey, and I think it's really cool, like you were saying, Kat, that it's in there. And then, like, for the celebration, it's identical to the Stanley Cup cutscene with a different trophy. Mm-hmm. And then there's commentary that's like, I have it in my review. Doc Emmerich says, a bitter end to a season that held such promise. Like, what? That's obviously just lifted from, you know, franchise commentary for the Stanley Cup. And it's those kinds of issues that really stick out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, a lot of that comes down to the fact that they are a tiny team and they only have so many hours to get this game out. And in some respects, they are working miracles with the resources and the manpower that they have. But because their resources are so limited, you are going to see compromises. And you are definitely seeing it in the way that NHL is currently presented. And I think worse is this feeling that in some ways they're throwing stuff at the wall and they're not kind of taking the lead. Like, I never look at NHL and go, oh, wow, what a really smart and interesting idea by them. Or I go, oh, NHL seems to have taken on whatever was hot last year. Oh, look, Draft Champions is in here. That's nice. Mm. Oh, look, they have owner mode now. No, NBA did that better last year. Oh, look, they're throwing in the World Cup of Hockey. That's expected, I guess. And the execution is adequate. But I don't ever see something that, outside of the EASHL, where I go, man, like, this is something that really makes NHL stand out. I mostly just look at NHL and go, it's a hockey sim that borrows a mishmash of elements from other sports games that do it better.
But I will say this, just real quick, it's at least, right, they're the best at something. And they are, in my opinion, the best cooperative sports experience. Right. So to excel at something in the market that we're in right now, where just basically every game is really good or variation really good, at least they have that. I think that's key. And again, I think there's, you know, that's an important thing for them to make sure that they continue to double down on, because it's hard to be the best at something in this place, and at least they got that going for them.
Yeah, I think the question would be, you know, like, how does it evolve, right? Because that's, at its heart, you know, eSports Hockey League is the same mode it was when it was introduced in 2009, with the exception of, instead of building your characters, now you have these selectable types of characters you get to choose
from. But it makes a big difference, because before you had to actually level up your character, and that like raised the barrier to entry so high. And now you can just drop in and play, and it's so much more fun and more accessible. And it adds a nice bit of strategy as well.
And even better, a game where you're just playing with your friends doesn't have to have a ton of new bells and whistles every year. Because if the game is fun, it's even more fun to play with your friends, right? So unlike a single-player mode or a franchise mode, where if you don't have something new and exciting and interesting every year, people will grow tired of it, as we have seen in Madden, for example, right? Like, or even MLB The Show, right? I personally don't have issues with it, but I know a lot of people are like, come on, there's got to be something different and new. With a multiplayer co-op mode, you don't have to have a whole bunch of new bells and whistles, because just as long as you're playing a good game with your friends, just the act of playing the game, like playing pickup basketball just with your buddies in real life, is fun no matter what. I think that's the area where they don't have to go nuts with EASHL every year, as long as it's really good and persistent and you keep rewarding people for playing well together. Mm-hmm.
That's why you saw NHL sales drop by 50% when they didn't have it in NHL 15.
Hey, we're going to take just a moment to thank this week's sponsor of the Press Row Podcast, the Dollar Shave Club. Guys, you do not need to choose between price and quality to get an amazing and an affordable shave. DollarShaveClub.com is the answer. To prove how amazing their shave really is, right now they're going to give you your first month free to join the club. I'm in the club, and it's fantastic. DollarShaveClub.com delivers amazing razors right to my door for a third of the price of what the greedy razor corporations charge. Seriously, I have no reason to deal with the drugstore hassle, battle the locked-up razor fortress ever again, and neither will you when you join the club. Just go to DollarShaveClub.com and pick a razor that works for you from their lineup of amazing blades. That's all there is to it. Personally, I get a first-class shave when I use the Executive Blade, and when I use it with their Dr. Carver's Shave Butter, the blade just gently glides for the smoothest shave ever. This thing is fantastic. I use it every day, and it's awesome. And with Dollar Shave Club, you can look, smell, and shave like $1 million without paying for it. So here's your chance to see why over 3 million members like me love Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club is so confident in the quality of all of their products, and now you can get your first month of the club for free. Just pay shipping. After that, it's just a few bucks a month. No long-term commitment, no hidden fees. There's no reason not to do it. And even better, if you go to dollarshaveclub.com/pressrow right now, you'll be helping support the Press Row podcast. Get yours at dollarshaveclub.com/pressrow. That's dollarshaveclub.com/pressrow.
Right. Well, I mean, there were a lot of other reasons the 15 was you know, really bad. But I think, you know, what I was saying before, though, is, like, yeah, it was really important for that series to have something that it does well that really no other series does in EASHL. And I think the stuff they added this year is really great with the, you know, I spent a long time designing my my team's jerseys. I actually like recreated the Hartford Whalers because that logo is in there. Like, they've got a bunch of vintage NHL logos, which is really cool. And I, you know, I messed around with that. And you know, the fact that, you know, you can have that sort of casual experience, like Rich was saying, just, you know, playing pickup games with your friends. But also, you can, if you really want to get into it, you can make a team, have an identity, and then have an arena that you created yourself as well, is fantastic. But, you know, even what they are adopting from other games, you know, even when they do them well, the additions tend to be held back by, you know, again, as I was saying earlier, the kinds of nagging problems that have plagued NHL for a long time. So we were talking about gameplay earlier, but even something like Draft Champions, which I think is like a really smart addition to this franchise, it's a good idea just to get a quick, you know, four game kind of gauntlet in, whether you're playing against a CPU or a human opponents, is smart. But the thing is that because, for example, the player ratings, the range is so compressed in this franchise,
that's a big issue.
Yeah. As opposed to something like Madden, you know, you're, even though they have these, you know, themed restrictions on the player pools, so like, oh, you're only going to draft European players or only players who are like over 30 or whatever, you still are pretty much guaranteed to get a high-rated team because, like, your default players that you get, like this quote-unquote, you know, scrubs or mediocre players are like in the upper 70s.
Yeah, 80, and, 81.
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, sure, you'll get like your 92s or whatever, your legend cards like Mike Modano and Brett Hull and whoever. But that kind of lack of differentiation in the range really, I think, saps the mode of a lot of its inherent strategy. And so. You know, again, that's kind of an issue that the NHL franchise has had for a long time that affects the additions that they bring in. So, like I said, there's a lot of, I think, you know, good ideas that they have, and there are some areas that certainly need some attention, like hopefully next year Be a Pro will get the overhaul that Be a GM got this year with the franchise. You know, overall, I think it's kind of, you know, wait and see for what they keep doing or the direction that they take the franchise in for the future.
Just in some ways, it's almost too much. You know what I mean? I know you need all those modes, but, you know, there's no way to improve every mode every year. And in some ways, I know that it's almost like having the franchise mode and the single player mode and the ultimate team and the EASHL and you know, be a pro. Like, it's almost like a crutch because there's just no, and, you know, then all just the gameplay itself and the presentation. The gameplay is so big and the resources behind it are not. It's almost too much in that when they can't make updates, it shows so much more, I think.
Well, and the problem they're going to run into is you say that ESHL is the best version of team sport on video on this console. What happens when it's not? NBA 2K's Pro-Am is not that far behind. The only thing stopping Pro-Am at this point is the entry point of the game itself. The fact that hockey is easier to pick up and play than basketball, or than, well, 2K at this point. What happens when 2K's Pro-Am pushes ahead of it? 2K's been getting a ton of press because they're going to be doing their Pro-Am tournament correctly this year as opposed to the tournament they did last year. Mm. With all the money they're going to put behind that, there's a good chance that Pro-Am becomes the new ESHL in terms of popularity.
No, I mean, it might be more popular, but the hockey is just so much more fun to play together because it's so much more fast-paced and frenetic. You can't hog the ball, you know what I mean, in ESHL. You know, you can't have the, you know, disparity. Like, you know, yes, there's different positions in hockey than there is in basketball, but there's a wild difference between a point guard and a center, things they can do, things they can't do. In hockey, you just go up and down the ice and you call to your friend, I'm going to the net or I'm on the point. It's just, you know, and this is not a knock on the Pro-Am. It's fantastic. It's just, it's because there's so many more opportunities to not have fun with a basketball pro co-op game versus hockey. It's so much easier to have fun.
The other big differentiator is in NBA 2K, you pay to win in that mode.
Yep.
As opposed to, there's no element of that in NHL.
Yeah, exactly what I was going to say. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a huge one right there, the fact that it's tied into the virtual currency. But I think the other thing is that NBA 2K's Pro-Am may indeed one day become more popular just because basketball is a more popular sport than hockey. And NBA 2K is a more popular sport game than NHL, but there will always be people who vastly prefer hockey to basketball and will therefore gravitate toward the EASHL. With that said, one of the primary goals of the EASHL is to make it into an e-sport, which I think is a bit of a reach, to be perfectly honest. K2K has a much better chance, perhaps, of eventually becoming an esport, if that is indeed what all these sports games aspire to be.
Yeah, I'm not saying that the Pro-Am and 2K will not be more popular. It probably is more popular. I'm just saying it's not as fun. That's what I'm saying. It's not the best. But I'm sure it's more popular because NBA 2K probably outsells NHL 10 to 1, 8 to 1, no, 7 to 1.
20 to 1. Yeah. All right. Well, since we're talking some NBA 2K already, let's shift over to NBA 2K17, which is, as we record this, has only been released for 5 days, I think, now. Very few reviews are out there at this point. There will be a few more by the time you're listening to this. But, you know, it's coming off a year that most people really love the game. And so I'm curious, first impressions based on time you spent with the game. Millennium, how about we start with you?
First impression was ball control is better because it feels like I'm controlling the ball in my hand now, as opposed to pointing my character to go somewhere, pushing the stick, and then watching him go 6 to 7 feet under his own control.
Mm-hmm.
The updates they did to that, to where I'm not doing a signature size up on one click, I'm actually controlling the size up, I'm controlling the crossovers, that makes the game feel more intuitive to me. That also allows me to do moves that I could not do in past iterations. I also think it lowers the entry point to an extent because the frustration of I don't know why my guy is doing this has been lowered. It's still there to an extent, but I believe that that has been brought closer to, I almost don't want to bring the game up, but closer to what NBA Live does.
Right.
To a much better extent, obviously. The other thing that I noticed is the game feels physical. The entire time you're on the court running offense, there's this tangible feel of a constant physical battle under the rim. And it feels like the war of attrition between big guys trying to get a rebound. Rebounds aren't automatically put in your hands now. They tip around. The ball is loose. It feels like a fight on the court instead of, again, canned animations taking over. While those are the good parts, I still think the passing engine leaves a lot to be desired. There are floaty passes that happen that I can't explain why. The bounce passes skip into people when I'm leading them. The skip pass that's new to this year never goes where I want it to go, and I'm not sure if that's early because I haven't had the time to practice more with it, to get in the lab and actually figure out what does what. But I'm making an attempt not to use icon passing so that I do what they want us to do, and that is start using all these new mechanics.
Yeah. It's, gameplay is always a high for NBA 2K, but there have been those legacy issues, like you said, animations that kind of drag you into things and you lose control. And as you kind of inferred there, as far as accessibility, NBA 2K is one of the most difficult games to grasp, and they actually have a new tutorial thing this year, which I think is one of the worst tutorials I've ever played. Do you agree with 2KU?
It's freaking terrible. I played it, and I was like, what the hell is this? I don't need to know the basic controls. I need to know how to freaking do like this, the cross-up, the actual cross-ups and the actual moves, and more importantly, how to play all these different positions. I think that both Madden and FIFA have gone more and done a better and better and better job of explaining the intricacies of their individual sports, where NBA 2K continues to lean on the fact on you being a hardcore basketball fan. And guess what? I'm not a hardcore basketball fan. I do not watch basketball on a regular basis. I have a passing familiarity with the sport. I enjoy playing NBA 2K, but man, I am so at sea with a lot of the concepts that are just thrown around casually in this game. And where Madden has really committed toward onboarding players, especially with in the way that they've integrated the skill games into franchise mode, and FIFA has done something similar with the way that they've handled the journey, I just think NBA 2K needs to do a much better job of actually being accessible, because it is such a complicated game. And it's even more complicated than before in the way that they've kind of moved away from the canned animations that Millennium was talking about. You know, I'm not saying complexity is bad. In fact, I love how much depth there is in NBA 2K. But, oh my Lord, 2KU is not the answer.
I could not disagree respectfully with you more, Kat. Other than the fact that I didn't find 2KU fun, these days, in my opinion, if I was designing and running, you know, this game, I wouldn't put any tutorials in the game, right? This is 2016. You have got infinite number of ways to educate people on how to play your game without spending time and resources on trying to make it happen in the game. You've got your YouTube channels. You've got all sorts of people, you know, on both the development team and on the community management team who can produce all sorts of 30-second, 1-minute, 5-minute, 10-minute videos telling you all about these different things. Heck, they integrate NBA 2K into NBA 2K TV into the game. And Mike Wang, all last year, every week, would come on and talk about, here's how to do this, and here's how to do that, and here's how to learn how to do that. And even on Hit the Pass, we did some you know, videos with Dazar, you know, and here's some cool things to do that. To me, that's the way that you teach people to play the game. I think trying to integrate those kind of things in the game is, I think people who play the game regularly find them tedious and boring and over the top, and people who don't play the game don't look to games to teach them how to more. They go to Google and they type how to play NBA 2K17 and they find all these great ways to do it.
Respectfully, I disagree with you, Rich. There's a difference between showing and doing. And a lot of those YouTube videos that you're talking about are very much geared toward hardcore players. Yeah, they have okay tutorials and they can do a step-by-step process, but it is a hard thing to replicate actually in-game. And as in terms of like the really high level stuff, like that stuff really remains elusive for a lot of players. And I think that the leap from kind of casual NBA player to someone who actually like really has a good grasp of what they're doing is higher than any other sports game out there right now.
You're right, but let me just follow up by saying this. Kat, how did you get good at Madden?
I got good at Madden with hundreds upon hundreds of hours of practice. And yeah, I had to go online and
you decided that you were going to get good at Madden. How did you get good at FIFA?
I'm not very good at FIFA.
But you told me, we told this story, like you got good at FIFA because you started watching a lot of soccer and then you started applying the principles of soccer to the game. If you want to get good at NBA 2K, you have to want to get good at NBA 2K. You need to watch basketball.
Yeah.
You need to
learn NBA 2K, though, is more of a video game than any of those games because you can learn those concepts by watching the actual sport. But in terms of actually controlling the player, getting in for layups, doing all of the different moves or stuff, that is much more of a video game kind of thing. And that is not something that you can learn just by watching it. Whereas in Madden, I actually think that even though Madden is a very complicated game, that you can learn the concepts just by watching the sport, stuff like the terminology. Once you start to do that and you start to understand how the zones and the different coverages like break apart, it's not that hard to look for the right player and throw the pass, as opposed to executing and comboing together different signature size up moves.
So let me give you an example, Rich, of a way that I think it's done well. Okay. The developers have to give you an incentive, or it has to be part of your progress, I think, within playing elsewhere. So like with Madden this year, if you complete their skills challenges, each one of their groups of skills challenges, you get an ultimate team pack each time. I went through so that I could get my like 10 ultimate team packs through this, and I ended up bringing on some of the skills I learned through that and applying it to my normal gameplay now. Things like that I had used in the past that just kind of slipped away for a while. Things like changing my offensive line protection, a few different types of audibles on defense that just had never clicked for me before until I had to use them here. So I think what you have to do in this area is say, okay, NBA 2K, instead of having this separate thing where you go for no reason and play and it interrupts you and freezes the action to basically just show you a screenshot of something, instead of doing that, let's make it part of the gameplay. Let's make it part of, a mode. Make it part of career mode or in my team, make it a challenge where you have to use a certain type of move in a one-on-one situation or whatever it might, or you have to call a certain play and run a certain play, but give you a reason to do it, give you a reason to complete it so you actually feel like you achieved something instead of just putting it on its own there and basically just... It serves very little purpose, really.
The funny thing is that they actually do incorporate it to some extent into the career mode with the practicing, like the team practices and everything, but in a way that's actually incredibly boring.
Yeah. Yeah. So you do earn practice kind of like skill points from practices. Essentially, you get for doing all your work in different shooting drills and things of that nature. But you're right. They're still not teaching you like the controls necessary. They're like, okay, now you have to make a certain number of jump shots in a certain amount of time.
Well, the other part of this too is running plays. I think one of the big things, again, that people don't do in this game as casual fans is they either don't run plays or they don't realize that freestyle is even in the game. The freestyle offenses are in the game. And you have to turn on, again, an option in a menu that is hidden to say for play vision to turn that on and you have it on light or full. There's no real explanation all the time of what that is. We know what it is because I watch Dazar on YouTube constantly, and I'm a basketball fan. I know the swing motion. I know how the Spurs run the offense. I know the differences that the Celtics have incorporated into the same swing motion. So I know the offenses already. I can put it on light and just go to where I need to go with it. But I'm not expecting somebody who just picked up the game to understand different offenses around the NBA and be able to run them. Forget the controls of how to actually dribble. You can't beat this game on All-Star or even this year's Superstar is the level that everyone says to play on. You cannot beat this game on Superstar by dribble moves. You have to run an offense.
Yes, you have to want to learn to play the game like a real basketball game. And that's the thing. Like, I don't know. I know I sound like a broken record, so I won't repeat myself more than two more times. But you got to want this, right? You're not gonna, unless you put it on easy, you know, you're not going to just be able to turn it on and play it and you know, run up and down the court and slam dunk unless you put it on easy. And I think that's a good thing. I think putting the burden on the players to actually want to learn how to play basketball the right way is brilliant and really almost unheard of in this day and age. You don't have to. I mean, if you play MLB The Show, you need to understand baseball, but you don't have to do nearly as much, you know, work, so to speak, you know, I put that in air quotes, to play MLB The Show well, because there's like 5% or 10% happening in MLB The Show that there is in NBA 2K. It's not a knock on MLB The Show. It's an amazing experience, but it's just a completely different thing. You know, if NBA 2K wasn't so deep and so complex, it wouldn't be the cultural landmark that it is. It hits you on so many levels. It hits a casual fan when you're playing this game because you realize how beautiful it looks and how serious it is and how real it is. And it hits hardcore basketball fans hard because there are things happening on the court that, you know, unless you really know basketball, you wouldn't even be aware of, and you watch it happen and you're like, your mind is blown. But if you're a casual fan, you can also learn how to play the game the right way just by playing through My Career. You can learn a lot of the moves. You can learn what different positions are supposed to do and never play a team game. Or if you want to simply go to play a social experience with your friends, there are people who just go to the park and never do anything other than go in the park and play online games. People who never go play a real basketball game. So
yeah,
you can get 9 different experiences in NBA 2K, and it all comes down to what you want to do. And I really think that – I think it's almost a myth at this point where, you know, you have to try to serve everybody. I like where NBA 2K has gone. I like where NHL has gone, where they're like, you know what? If you're not in, that's okay. You can figure out other ways to get in because of the internet and YouTube and Google. But, you know, if you're in, we are going to blow your minds with how real this game is. And I personally think that's the right way to go.
I mean, I agree with you, Rich, and I'm certainly not saying that they should take out depth. I think the depth is terrific. I just think that it's a very daunting game, and I think 2KU is really too little. It's just not enough in any way, shape, or form. It's almost essentially an interactive button tutorial. And I think it could be a lot better and do a lot better in helping you bridge the gap from being the casual fan who's playing on pro difficulty and just kind of soaking it all in and enjoying themselves and moving up to that next level.
I mean, that's all well and good, like what Rich was saying, sorry. But to me, it's absurd that, you know, they tried to add a tutorial to 2K and it's apparently bad. I mean, again, I haven't played the game yet, but, you know, from what you guys were saying, it sounds pretty lackluster. And you know, I don't know if someone has brought this up because I was out of the call just now, but, you know, when you look at what NHL did last year with the on-ice trainer, which I think, and I said it last year on the show, I think is a landmark achievement for simulation sports games.
That's a good point.
And you know, FIFA had something similar as well last year, and obviously it's very difficult. It's very difficult to do that exact kind of thing in other games because it's pretty dependent on the sport itself of hockey. But you know, when you have this mode that is a tutorial overlay on top of the actual game interface in game, you are learning how to play as you are playing the game. That's what the best games do, you know, non-sports games, you know, think of like Half-Life 2 or whatever. So to have that in there in NHL is another thing that I think that series does better than any other sports franchise. And for 2K being, you know, such a super popular franchise, they've sold, you know, shipped like whatever 7 or 8 million copies for a number of years in a row, and yet still be pretty impenetrable to newcomers, and even to veterans of the franchise, you know, having to grapple with the various control changes from year to year is amazing to me.
But, you know, we were talking about a little bit last week, Brian, Madden this year, I'm awful at it. I played Madden for 20 years, right? I've done very well in our leagues at various points in time. I got beat by 0.5 points by, you know, Pete Dodd last week because this year's Madden is more realistic. You know, the zone defenses are better, and I'm still playing the game like last year. If I want to actually get good in the league, I have to put in time, and I have to put in practice, and I have to learn what's going on. And that's on me. I'm not complaining about it. I got to figure out whether I want to do it or not. It's on me to do it or not. I think NBA is the same way. Like, I just really like how much I really like how much they have going on, and I've changed my mind completely in this last couple of years. I don't feel it's incumbent on them to teach you. I think there's enough resources out in the world to figure it out if you really want to do it.
The one thing that we keep asking for, speaking for Operation Sports, but sim, you know, the quote unquote sim gamers in general, is to make the game more realistic. And we're starting to see this in not only NBA 2K, but like you said, Madden. The thing that Madden does, though, is in the game planning, they mask tutorials in the game planning, because when you're game planning against Cover 2, it teaches you Cover 2 concepts.
That's exactly.
And the thing is that for a game to be that realistic, yes, you have to know the game. Like, I watch all 22 cam on NFL games, so I know a lot of the stuff Madden put in there. So game planning to me is just like, okay, I know this already. But the problem is that, like you said, you may not. You're using Madden 16 last year, where this year's realistic zone coverage is giving you issues because of pre-snap and post-snap reads. They mask that in game planning. I don't know that 2K does something like that. And while I don't want fully fleshed out hand-holding, I would like something that teaches basketball. Not necessarily this is how you do a crossover, this is how you do a 360 dunk on somebody that's in good defensive position. I don't want them to teach me money winning. I want them to teach me this is where the swing and offense starts. And you're right. The Czar, Scott OG, they all do this.
They do
a fantastic way on their YouTube page. But I've been in the Czar's live streams. I've been in his videos. They don't get the views that they should. They don't advertise that the Czar's doing this.
Not their fault.
The official, no, I agree it's not their fault. But there are people that can't find that.
So here's my question, right? We're talking about scarce resources. Would you rather not... You raved, like we haven't even talked about the game, right? You're raving about how much more physical the game feels this year, right? And you're raving, and I'm raving about how more, you know, how interesting it is that when I, you know, pull off of a pick and roll, it's not behaving the way that it did last year. It's actually behaving the way that I know, you know, in a slightly different way, but it completely changes the way that I'm playing the game, and I got to learn how. Would you rather that they invest, you know, 450 hours in building out tutorials to teach you this stuff? Or would you rather they do what they've done to make the game better and then have, you know, OG and Czar do what they're doing? Because it's a choice.
I like what Madden does, to be honest. I think that they have managed to split the difference rather admirably. And I don't think that it's an either-or kind of thing. That you can teach people the much deeper concepts of the sport without... forcing them to play through hours of boring tutorials. And I do think that in-game tutorials can be much more useful than watching a YouTube video. I do. And Rich, you brought up you bring up Madden and how like I spent all these hours learning how to play the game. Well, I would have killed to have the stuff that they have now in Madden 11, where I was like having to literally Google what is Cover 3, because that game sure wasn't going to tell me and how to beat Cover 3 and all that stuff. And now the game does a much, much better job of teaching me these things and telling me these things. And I think that instead of taking a freaking year to become like much better at Madden, I would have maybe taken like a week or two. So I think that these tools can be extremely useful in getting a lot more people to a high level of play.
I think for me personally, I'm not someone who is going to go look up like Dazar strategy videos. I've watched them before, and he does a great job. But you know, Rich, you were saying that you don't think it's incumbent upon the game developers to put that stuff in there. But I honestly think it is. You know, I think that, you know, just from an overarching point of view, you look at how crowded the sports game market is, especially at this time of year, and how crowded the overall video game market is, and just entertainment in general. You know, as you point out all the time, I watch a ton of TV, and I probably watch more TV than, you know, I play games, honestly. It's not, I think, the user's responsibility to go out and find that stuff, you know, to search out these tutorials or these you know, outside the game explanations for stuff that's in the game. Because, you know, I'm thinking of myself, you know, if like I didn't have to play these games for work, I probably wouldn't play them, even though I love the sports, because they're so complicated. I would just kind of get frustrated and throw my hands in the air and be like, well, screw this. I'm going to turn my brain off and you know, pop on Netflix or something, or Gears 4 or whatever. And so I think, you know, as popular as NBA 2K is, they are taking a risk by continuing to, you know, do a poor job in this respect. You know, certainly keep the game complex. That's great. Keep it complex, keep it realistic. But I think it really matters. It's going to matter in the long run to keep people coming back and to keep bringing new people in.
Well, you guys say that, but the game sells great every single year. So I'm obviously in the minority. I respect your guys' opinion very much. And this is like Madden penalties. I'm the only one, and I'm wrong, but it's certainly not hurting their sales. We can see that.
But the game as a whole is amazing. I mean, it's still amazing. I've been really enjoying it, and except for one thing, I don't particularly like doing the practices in my career. I find them kind of annoying and grindy. But
I just don't know why when I practice for 10 minutes and then I leave, my bar goes down. Do I have to practice until my bar goes all the way up? What is that?
I think that's adding into an even larger bar underneath.
It is. The doing work bar is adding to a much larger bar.
Yeah, right. So it's draining your top
upgrades.
One, but then it's adding to the long-term one.
It's very upsetting.
And then you have to, in order to get to know Justice, who's played by Michael B. Jordan, you have to also go into the free days, so where you will meet up with him, and then you'll get to know one another. And your relationship will improve and stuff until you get to the point where, and this is like the big new feature of my career, is that you can take control of them at the same time and like kind of form up like the super combo and do like cool moves and stuff, which is awesome. I really like it. And orange juice. but in the context of the actual game, like they're so committed to being realistic that it is actually like to the point of being boring. And you forgive me, like I'm playing FIFA right now, and they have a story mode of their own this year called The Journey. And the practices in that are useful in that they've found a way to incorporate the skill games into the actual game, which is kind of cool. and they're fairly useful for kind of getting to know the controls and get to know how to do things. But at a certain point, you can just skip them and there's no penalty. Whereas I skipped a team practice because I was like, oh God, I don't want to do a team practice. I just want to go. And oh my God, I got so many angry texts from my coach. Yeah. Oh, he was like, how dare you? I'm going to take away your minutes. I'm like, I'm sorry, coach. Jeez. I'll go to the boring practice. God.
It is a grind. So,
yeah. I mean, but it's realistic. You're
the biggest RPG fan I know, Kat. I would have thought you would have loved the grind. That's your whole thing. You're a grinder.
Oh, is that what I am? Okay.
Coach Brubaker does not screw around, does he?
No, he does not.
But my only issue with my career, since we're talking about that aspect of the game, is I'm fine with the story because, you know, they paid actors. They got the motion capture. I want to experience the story once. If I want to create another character, please let me skip through the scenes. I'll go to practice all the time. I promise you, Coach Brubaker, I will make practice. I will go. I'll make curfew every night. I'll go to the the cafeteria if you want me to. I'll go sign autographs. That's fine. But please don't make me watch the cutscenes of me talking on the phone with my mom while my roommate eats my casserole again. I don't need to see that again.
Yeah, that more than anything is what has kept me from wanting to start new games in different positions, because I'm like, I don't want to go through these cutscenes again. And FIFA's The Journey is the same way. I almost feel like they spend so much time and money on these cutscenes that they're like, no, you are going to watch these cutscenes, damn it. You got to see the cutscene. I'm just like, okay, fine. Didn't they let you skip the cutscenes last year? I'm pretty sure you could.
No. I played through them 3 times because I wanted a point guard, a small forward, and a center for my park and pro-am, and I had to watch them every time.
I'm impressed that you had the patience to go all the way through that story, because it was not the high point of NBA 2K's story.
Well, when Steve Noah tells you he needs a small forward for the OS team, you go get a small forward for the OS
all
team.
Right.
That's what you have to do.
I bow to your commitment.
I really enjoyed the story mode last year. I thought it was fun. I thought it was different.
It was different, but okay. Allow me to. It was the most cliche, sports movie BS.
Right.
And I'm sorry. Yeah. They're trying to be edgy, and it was such a cop-out to have the friend is going into some dangerous territory. Watch out. Oh, he died in a car accident. A car accident because he drove too fast because they were too afraid to talk about drugs or gang life or whatever. Oh my God. And it was so cheesy.
You guys are impossible to please.
I guess I am, but you know what? I'm sorry. I'm playing I'm starting to sound like a broken record like you, Rich, and I'm playing The Journey, and look, it's not perfect or whatever. It's still a bit cheesy, but it just really kind of highlights how over the top NBA 2K can be. And
I can't wait to play.
I think that NBA 2K's attempts to kind of be dangerous and go into interesting places really kind of backfired on them last year. I don't think that mode was good. I think it compromised career mode last year.
I thought
I didn't have a problem with the story though. I didn't have a problem with the story. I enjoyed the story for what it was. I played through it. I just didn't want to do it twice.
I get that.
Because I knew what was going to happen.
I also like the fact that after you got through the first year, then you had a really fun rest of the career that was easy to get through. And I would have actually been fine, I think I said this before, if for this year's my career, they basically just didn't have a story and went and they took sort of the greatest hits from season 2 and beyond last year. Like, I don't think you have to do a story every year.
It's more or less what they did this year. I mean, they do have a story. But they basically start you in year 2, or exactly. They basically start with last year's year 2 right from the start as soon as you get out of college.
I think the reason I liked the story last year so much is because it was just different and they took a chance. And I know it didn't work. Like, I know it was cheesy, but I mean, at a certain point in time, you have to just sort of say, hey, you know what? They're having fun. They're taking a chance. They're doing something different. It's a 1 year thing. And have fun with it. I think a lot of people just
that's fine. But as a critic, I can criticize his execution.
Absolutely, of course.
Well, Rich, wait until you see the Alex Hunter cocaine scandal with Jose Mourinho in The Journey.
I wish. Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
Well, FIFA's the one thing where they could do it because FIFA's got so many problems. They probably don't have anybody even reviewing, approving the game. It's just a free for all over there.
ESRB would get them though with that. It'd be a rated M game.
Good point.
Yeah. which, you know, 2K managed to avoid the rated M somehow, because they, yeah, you know, they took Spike Lee tried to tone himself down and but got super emotional and,
you know, what's
didn't
funny
pay
though,
off.
What was really funny in the NBA 2K this year, like only NBA 2K could like make fun of Terrell Owens, for example, like there's nobody would do that. But yet NBA 2K is like, you know, with his roommate, like, that's my quarterback. That's my guy. Like, I'm like, only NBA 2K has the swagger and the juice, no pun intended, to do something like that. I found that really
funny.
Yeah,
I know. When you're taking a few games, can take a shot at a athlete who was relevant more than a decade ago.
Well, they're even taking shots at other games because they're in my park. One of the celebrations is Center Court Jesus from NBA Elite.
Yeah.
From the demo, so.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Yeah. So, yeah, they are in a position where they can get away with that stuff for sure.
I will say this. You win. FIFA has the best GM mode, and I don't think it's particularly close. I love that they introduced the expansion mode this year. I think that's a great idea. I love that I can start with these expansion teams in there right away and not have to, like, artificially move teams to get new teams or have to simulate through an entire year like I do in NHL. I think that's terrific. It's full of such smart little ideas, like the ability to start right wherever the NBA season is at that time. You can just pick it up right from there and keep going. It's so smart in that regard. And there's so many like layers to it and so well implemented that I have to take my hats off to them. It's really terrific.
You meant NBA though, right, Kat?
That's what I said. NBA, right?
No, you said FIFA. Okay. I think you meant NBA.
Holy crap. Was I literally just saying FIFA?
Yeah.
NBA. NBA 2K has the best freaking GM mode. My God. Wow. Right. You win, Rich. NBA 2K has the best GM mode. Why would I even think it? Oh, my God. Well, of course, right. FIFA doesn't have expansion.
That's why I knew you were talking about NBA 2K.
Well, the really cool thing about NBA 2K's GM mode now is, if it works, we're going to put the three words in quotation that 2K has earned for server issues, possibly. At any point during the season, you can start from that day with updated trades, updated injuries, updated full statistics, which is
brilliant.
Unheard of.
Amazing.
Yeah, brilliant. I would love that idea. You can start the season from the previous draft. So if you're the Sixers, you don't take Ben Simmons anymore.
That's freaking brilliant. I love it. If you're a Thunder fan, you're so happy, right? I mean, yeah, you could do that and say like Madden, like where you could go, well, I'm just going to like edit this roster right now and put Durant back on the Thunder. But the fact that you can just go back and redo the offseason is so smart. I love that. So great.
And not only that, all of the stuff, they didn't just leave it to like relocation, and the expansion mode is really cool because you go through an entire expansion draft. I created the Baltimore Barons, which are one of the default teams, and had a 70 overall team because none of the expansion players are all that good. But the ingenuity of putting in different gameplay mechanics that affect GM, the progressive fatigue is much better, the injury engine is much better, the trade engine with the CPU is infinitely better. And then one of the major problems last year for, again, people that understand rotations, was you would play the first 6-7 minutes of a quarter and then your entire five get subbed out. You're playing entire second line like hockey, but your entire bench. This year, you can actually do advanced rotations, not only to say how many minutes you want your guys to sub, but when the subs come. So you can go ahead, Kat.
It's so important for certain teams, especially like teams with that have benches that aren't quite as deep as others. Because if you're going to win, you really need to manage those rotations like very closely, or else you're just going to have garbage out on that floor.
I feel like Greg Popovich, and it feels great. I almost want to curse out a sideline reporter.
All right. So, you know, a little bit about NBA 2K17 there, mostly about difficulty. So let's hit One more thing on NBA 2K, you know, just give me your, you know, your favorite thing about the game so far and maybe what you dislike about it more than anything at this point. Go ahead, Kat.
My favorite thing by far is the GM mode. I love all of the different features. And more importantly, I think NBA 2K is just so forward-thinking and so intelligent in the way that it does its designs. And I really wish that NHL would take a page from their book, because, man, that is how you be innovative. On the sides that I find pretty frustrating, I don't like practicing. I find it boring. I wish that I could skip it. Yeah, I know it's more realistic, but from a video game standpoint, it's boring. And also, I would like to skip the cutscenes. And also, like, I guess this is just me admitting that I'm a scrub, but I have had a really hard time over the years, like, kind of like getting to that next level where I can like really get inside, like do the various moves, like execute plays. Like, it's a very complicated game that requires a lot of kind of determination and practice, as Rich was saying, to get it to like really get right. And there always seems to be a point every single year where I hit a wall and I go, I can't, I suck. I can't do this anymore. And then I end up putting it away. Mm. And someday I would like to get past that wall, and it does a good enough job of entertaining me at the level that I'm at. But I think that is the single most frustrating thing for me right now with NBA 2K17.
Yeah. Millennium, your thoughts?
Two major things. I think the first one will be widely received well. Online working my GM, an actual online league mode that works. I had a couple friends test it out with me this weekend. It is a little different in that you draft free agents at the end instead of signing them, but it's not like it was last year where it's a season and then it just resets. It is an ongoing, functioning, deep online my GM, which is sorely missing from the entire sports gaming environment, with the exception of Madden. So I love that they brought that back, or brought it to, since it's not something that's a callback. Also, I talked about earlier, the physicality of basketball. It's not something that any basketball game has ever gotten correct. There is a button to bump cutters now if you're an off-ball defender. There is another button to grab defenders and ride them, or ride cutters as they go.
So where do you learn those buttons, by the way?
Shout out to Scott OG and the Czar and the live stream. It's, guys, if you want to learn sports games at this point, learn the sport and then learn what Twitch and YouTube you can go to, because that's where all the training is now. Unfortunately, like as Rich said, that if you want to get better, you have got to commit yourself to getting better to all of the sports games at this point. NHL with On Ice Trainer has a great training. Madden has good training. But if you want to play online in Madden, it's the same thing. You've got to go online and learn what defenses you can run. NBA is the same way. If you want to learn, you got to find somebody that knows the dribble moves. You got to find somebody that knows the offenses. So, yeah, but for me, like I said, physicality is amazing. Off-ball post is completely reworked, to where you can fight for positioning in front of and behind the post guy now. It's just so much fun to be an off-ball defender and just defense in general. So,
all right, Rich.
It's going to sound like a cliche. I just love how NBA 2K17 looks and sounds. I mean, if you're playing a game, just regular 5-on-5 game, the sound of the sneakers on the court, of the players talking to each other, of the crowd when something big happens, it's so immersive and so well done. And we're spoiled these days in our sports games in that, you know, all of the mainline console sports games look and sound great, relatively speaking. But NBA 2K takes it to an even higher level. And everything about the presentation on, and I'm not talking pregame, postgame, I just mean when you're playing the game, it's just spectacular. And I guess, again, because we're spoiled, it's just there's not a whole lot of people that talk about that. I just love how it looks and sounds. And I will echo my biggest issue these days is in the My Player, the grind of it. I get it. I understand it. It's a role-playing game. You have to, you know, increase your skills. You have to get better. You got to put in the work. But I would rather spend my time playing 5-on-5. And so I'm much more geared towards doing, you know, what I did last year, which was play a couple seasons as the Nets and try to rebuild them and get good. Even though I want to play my career more, it's just too grindy. So because I have extremely limited time, I have to go in that direction. So I'd like to be able to sort of push the button and say, yeah, I went to practice. Yeah, I did this. You know, similar to Madden, you know, in the, you know, you can just sort of simulate the training. I'd like to be able to simulate the practices if I could and mm-hmm. go that way.
Yeah, so I'm not quite as enthused about the game this year, but I haven't really formulated all my thoughts on it. You know, there's so much content in the game, some of which was improved upon, some of which is basically the same as last year, and some of which has regressed a little bit. But yeah, it's still the total package of a game, and that makes it really kind of hard to evaluate within a few day period, and that's why it's taken a little while longer to get reviews and everything out. So I want to move on, though, so the show doesn't run 4 hours long, because we could probably keep talking about 2K and how to teach people how to play these games and everything for quite a while. But a couple other games to hit on, because Pro Evolution Soccer 2017, you know, that's currently the highest rated sports game on Metacritic since 2013. Bypassing last year's edition of the series. And this year, you know, they seem to have cleaned up the issues with the series, whether that was the lack of fouls or the poor goaltending or the lack of roster updates, we would hope going forward. So, you know, it's a really good game. It just lacks some of the licensing and it maybe lacks some of the innovation in modes. So let's see what you think about it, Kat.
Man, I got... So I installed Pez a couple days ago, finally. I really wanted to review it this year, but the reason I never actually end up getting to review it is I always get it like just a couple days before it actually comes out. And then the next thing I know, like FIFA and NBA are like just around the corner, and it's like, and Pez gets lost in the shuffle. But damn it, I am determined to spend more time with it. And so yes. I've been playing a bunch of games, and I gotta say, man, after playing a whole bunch of FIFA, like the action on the field just sings. Oh God, the players just animate so much better. Like the off the ball intelligence is just really, really good. And I gotta say, like graphically, I think it's definitely a step up from FIFA. The presentation wise, it plays, it's almost like a 90s PC game in the way that it has these like really simple dialogue boxes and everything. Yep. But when you're actually playing the game, like the way it moves and plays and feels and flows, it's just great. But that's been the case with PES for, you know, a couple years at this point. And it all comes down once again to, okay, well, yeah, like FIFA doesn't kind of rise to Pez's level of realism, but you know, it's a cliche at this point to say that FIFA has the licenses and the presentation and kind of the extra little polish and everything. I have not spent the time that I want to with the career modes yet at this point, so I am going to hold off on speaking to those. I will say though that if I'm going to play one game online, it's probably going to be Pro Evolution Soccer, even though the licenses aren't quite there, the action on the field is there, and I think that is what matters the most to me right now, because it kind of puts FIFA's gameplay to shame, even with the new engine.
Yeah, Rich, and you you know, how do you agree with that or not, or disagree in some respects?
I was raving about Pro Evolution last week, Brian, and I'm even more excited to play it every day now. I don't think it's hyperbole for me to say that this is the best sports game that I've ever played when it comes to gameplay. Now, I'm not a hyper technical expert, and I know that there are people who are intimately familiar with, you know, the mechanics and certain technical aspects of video games, sports video games, that I'm not, okay? But the only game that I've ever given a you know, 5-star review or a 10 out of 10 review was NBA 2K, the one after the Jordan Challenge, where it had the you know, the Legends Challenge, which to me just, I was captivated by that game for like 3 or 4 months, but it was not the gameplay so much as it was, I just had never sort of been so emotionally involved in a sports video game like that. On the pitch, I am continually amazed, delighted, and just almost, I'm joyful when I'm playing that game, whether I'm winning or losing, because I'm just regularly seeing things that just make me go, wow. And the capper is that in Pro Evolution, at least my experience, I'm playing, you know, through a Champions League. When I'm playing a Real Madrid or a Barcelona or a Borussia Dortmund, and I know I'm not pronouncing that correctly, I apologize. It's very different than when I'm playing sort of a not quite best club in the world. And the intensity of the experience when you're playing some of the best clubs in the world, combined with the beautiful way that the game plays and the ball flies through the air and the skills that you put in motion, it's just unbelievable. I don't know what it is. I can't tell you technically what it is, but my goodness, Pro Evolution is the best playing sports game I've ever had the opportunity to play. It just blows my mind every day.
Yeah, it's definitely up there. I mean, it eliminates a lot of the frustrations I had with FIFA going into this year, and I haven't gotten into FIFA this year yet, so I don't know how much has been cleaned up and how different everything's going to be with the new engine. But yeah, I mean, if you can overlook the licensing issues, and it's a fairly easy process on PS4 to bring in a file and replace those with the actual teams that users have created. On Xbox One, that's not possible, sadly. But you know, if you can get past that those licensing shortcomings, I mean, it's as good as you can get playing, you know, as far as how it plays. And then just a question of, you know, again, I go back to, there's nothing really innovative in the modes. It's all this kind of standard modes you've had, and that yep. they've kind of, you know, they've kind of followed other franchises on, just like was talked about earlier with NHL, that they just kind of follow up the next year or whatever, like, oh, now we need our ultimate team, you know, that kind of thing. So, but yeah, it's a fantastic game. It doesn't sell very well in the U.S., but if they keep, you know, pulling out high Metacritic scores and the word of mouth spreads, it wouldn't surprise me if it starts to gain a little traction in regions where it hasn't been.
The only thing that kind of frustrates me about playing Pro Evolution Soccer is that you can say what you want about presentation and polish and maybe it not mattering as long as the product on the field is good, but it really is kind of a turnoff just have to deal with these clunky menus time and again, whether it's setting your lineups or just going through the basic mode selection screens and everything. Like Pro Evolution Soccer, like I was comparing it to like a 90s PC game, and it kind of is a turnoff. It makes me it doesn't really put me in the mindset to want to spend a lot of time with that game in the same way that, say, NBA 2K does. Like NBA 2K is like a game where it's in general so polished and flows so smoothly that I want to be in the game regardless. Whereas Pro Evolution Soccer, like I have to kind of push through all of that aspects. And maybe that makes me a bit shallow, but I really wish that a game that plays so beautifully on the field had the presentation and the kind of the polish to match.
All right, Kat, we're on soccer. You might as well hit us with some of your thoughts on FIFA. You're, I believe, the only one here that's played the full retail copy extensively at this point. So what do you think of that game so far?
I think that it's really good. I was just ragging about it on the field, but I think that it generally feels pretty good. I think that the transition to the Infinity Engine has been relatively painless. It feels more open and attacking-minded than it did last year. Last year, especially when you were playing the PC, playing the CPU just wasn't all that fun. Because the AI basically just never made mistakes. And so you really had to tune it so that it did make mistakes, because it was just not super fun to play against. This year, the CPU is kind of similar in that regard, but I think that it's easier to get around that. I think that the journey is easily the most intriguing part of this game, and it's going to get instant comparisons to NBA 2K's mode. I will say that where NBA 2K is much more focused on making you feel like you're kind of this like character who's in a like in the NBA for real, this game, FIFA, is much more like a kind of a sports movie, which I'm okay with, because you're playing as an established character in Alex Hunter, and that has its benefits, because they're not at pains to be like, whatever you say, Mr. President. Like, they can do it a lot more seamlessly. Yeah. And there are certain story beats that you're going to hit when you're playing the journey. And in some ways, it feels like they were kind of tuning it with the intention of you can pick like all of the any one of the premier clubs to sign with right out of the gate, pretty much.
Which is awesome. Love that.
That's awesome. And there are actually benefits and drawbacks to picking a big club versus a small club. Like, if you pick a small club, you're going to get more playing time early on. But because they want to hit certain story beats early on, they have to kind of compress all of that stuff in, and it can feel the tiniest bit clunky in that regard. For example, when my club made a really big, big name signing, and they walked in and my character met them, on the one hand, it was cool that my character was meeting them. On the other hand, I laughed out loud, because there was no way in hell that club would ever get that player. If you're willing to kind of suspend your disbelief in that regard, I think it flows really nicely between practice and then into the games. I think structurally it has certain advantages over NBA 2K, because either you're just being subbed in and now you're in and you can play for a whole bunch of minutes instead of being subbed in and out, getting a certain amount of minutes. And then once you break into the starting 11, that's great too. I like that the way that they handle the training. I was talking to the creative director for FIFA, and he was saying that they viewed the journey as like kind of a FIFA boot camp, as a way to get people into FIFA and learn how to play FIFA in a really fun and engaging way while also telling a story. And in that respect, I think the journey is successful. So between that, the product on the field still being pretty solid, and a few other like smart additions, like the more granular goals in career mode, I think that FIFA 17 is like really good.
All right, well, that's exciting to hear. We'll cover that more in the weeks ahead. But one more game we have to hit on, and it's going to end up being the highest rated out of all these games on Metacritic, at least, is Forza Horizon 3, which the review embargo just lifted this very morning that we're recording, and currently it has something like 12,100 reviews. on Metacritic, and it's well over a 90. It's an amazing game. I mean, I like the first Forza Horizon. I like the second one quite a bit. This one really kind of blows them out of the water. It's the same formula of those two games, but it's added on top of that with things like a cooperative mode, the ability to play online cooperatively through your campaign, and the setting of Australia has really made this the most variety out of all of the additions, because you're going to be racing on beaches, in the desert, through rainforests, through the city. It's remarkable. And then they've got 350 plus cars and a ton of kind of different types of challenges too that they've added in there. So, I mean, if you've liked Forza Horizon before, or you like racing games period, or you want to try a racing game, this is the one I think you want to get. Millennium, hop on in.
The demo for Forza Horizon 3 is Sports Game of the Year. And that's going a little over the top, obviously, but the game, if you play this demo and you are not blown away by the fact that you race a military chopper with a military Jeep strapped to the bottom with a guy that looks reminiscent of Duke Nukem yelling at you the entire race.
In the first 5 minutes, by the way.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And the coolest part is something that I hadn't seen in Horizon games of the past. You hit this jump where the chopper comes feet from you.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
The guy is waving to you. And you can see, and it slows everything down and makes it a moment.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I thought Horizon 2 was missing was moments. Like, there were races that you could race against a plane and stuff like that, and that were cool. But it didn't have those, man, I really remember that time I did this. And that helicopter shot, I'm going to remember the entire time I play Horizon 3. Mm. And I hope that that is instituted more in, where you get these really cool moments that slow down a little bit. But the best part about Horizon is it's not Forza. Its entry point is low.
Yeah.
It could easily be a system seller if it's sitting next. If you go to Best Buy and you see this gorgeous racing game and pick it up and realize that you can succeed in it, it's not this. It's not Gran Turismo. It's not Forza. It's not, you know, even F1 to this point, which is an amazing game on its own point, or on its own merits, but has that entry point of you have to know what you're doing. Forza is racing exaltation for everybody. There are e-shifts for people that like arcade racing that have been tuned. The control is better than ever. It is very small movements don't jerk you off the track now, but you can do exactly what you want to do when you want to do it. Like you said, all of the different environments are gorgeous. The game just absolutely pops. And I've got a 4K HDR TV. The demo is not in HDR, and it already is one of the most beautiful games I've ever played. So I can't wait for that.
Yeah. It's one thing I didn't mention in my review of the game was that this is also a game that doesn't try to milk you with microtransactions necessarily. Like, yeah, you can spend money on DLC and credits and stuff like that, but you don't really feel like you ever need to. They do this great thing where they throw up, it's like almost like a slot machine, and you win a number of credits, or in some cases you win actual cars. I won like this really really expensive car in one of my wheel spins, and so I think it's great. It rewards you for playing. It rewards you for, you know, you don't have to play on a difficult level. You can play, you can win most of your races if you want, or you can remove all the assists and up the difficulty and make it a real challenge.
And it's not a huge leap either, Brian. It's like, no, you don't go from, okay, this is pretty doable, to, oh my God, it's so hard. You make all these slight tweaks and adjustments, and you get a little bit of a bump, a little bit of an increase with those adjustments. And that's one of the hallmarks of what has made Forza so good the last couple of years, both the real game and the Horizons.
And you talk about currency, they're constantly giving you currency.
Yeah, they are.
It's not not just the slot machine. Like, they have an entire app called Forza Hub that you get a ton of credits from for playing past Forza games.
Yes.
Your Drivatar, when you're not playing,
you're
making money.
Yeah, your Drivatar is making you money. And that's another one of the coolest things about the Forza series. The first thing I did in this game, it told me to go find one of my best gaming friends and take him down. And I was like, you know what? I'm taking him down. I'm taking a screenshot.
See you later, Steve OS.
Yeah, exactly. I'm posting it on Twitter. I'm posting it everywhere because I'm taking this guy down. That Drivatar system is one of the better innovations in racing games.
One of the additionally, one of the features this year is that you can hire and fire people to be like, it's like kind of like your stable. And they earn you credits also. Their Drivatars earn you credits.
One of the things, I mean, the Forza 5 launched with the Xbox One and was just abysmal when it came to the microtransactions. And, you know, it was just every 10 seconds it would pop up. And what Turn 10 did was did the exact opposite with every Forza game afterwards. This is the fourth Forza title on the Xbox One. There's Forza 5 and Forza 6, and then Forza Horizon 2 and Forza Horizon 3. From Forza Horizon 2 to Forza 6 to now Forza Horizon 3, they make the microtransactions. Not only do you not need to do it, it's almost silly to think, why would anybody spend any more money? Because they just give you every opportunity to earn in-game currency. It's amazing in this day and age when it feels like every major sports game has its hand in your pocket one way or the other, how they do that. And yet, if you do spend the extra money, you get a lot for it. Like, that's the other thing. You don't, it's not a gamble. You know, it's not like, well, I'm going to spend $20 on these, you know, digital card packs and I might get that Ferrari, but I might just get a bunch of EW bugs. So even if you do spend the money, you get a lot of value for it. It's the only game, you know, in our genre that has these microtransactions where it feels like not only do you not have to spend any additional money, but if you do spend the additional money, you're going to get tremendous value. And that's so hard to do, and they do a wonderful job of that.
Well, not only their microtransactions, I think their DLC is very valued when it comes to price. The car packs they released. Now, that being said, I pre-ordered the $100 version where you get early access and you get the car pass where you get all the DLC. But I think the DLC is very accurate to what you get out of it when it comes to price. You don't have to buy any of the car packs, but if you see a car that you really like, you can get that. And then they start adding things like Last Horizon, remember they added Storm Island as an expansion. In Forza 6, they added an entire Porsche expansion, which added modes and added maps, things like that.
NASCAR expansion too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they got the NASCAR expansion right before.
Even better, the free Fast and Furious.
That was so good.
That was fun. Yeah,
so good.
Yeah. I feel like you said, Rich, after the Forza 5 issue, Turn 10 came back and said, you know what, this isn't going to happen again. They told Turn 10 and Playground Games, both of them said, this is not going to happen in our series anymore. We need to be more customer conscientious, and they are.
Well, yep, and you know, it's really getting pretty much universal praise across the internet, and it's exciting. I think this is set to be Microsoft's, you know, only first party title on Xbox One that'll be rated over a 90. So it's a pretty big achievement. That's a tough thing to do. Racing games especially, you know, they're not automatically received as highly as maybe an adventure or shooter game. So it's exciting. It's definitely exciting to have this game right here. And, you know, I'm looking forward to putting more time into it. And maybe we'll be talking about it more in an upcoming show. But look, I mean, we were going to talk about four to five games, and we did, and we barely scratched the surface of them, just like usual. So we're going to hit on a lot of these games more in coming episodes. Thanks for hanging with us this whole time. And thank you to panelists for this episode, from US Gamer, Kat Bailey, from Operation Sports, Chris, a.k.a. Millennium, from Polygon, Sumit Sarkar, and from Out of the Park, Rich Grisham. And again, thank you all for tuning in, and we'll be back with another episode soon. Take care.
Take care.